Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. Today, we're talking about maintaining a healthy dose of tension in our organizations. Andy, this idea of healthy tension is just an oxymoron to most leaders. They think if I'm a good leader, there won't be any tension.
Yeah, and our knee-jerk reaction to any tension or any problem in our organization is solve the problem, resolve the tension. Solve the problem, resolve the tension. Right. But in reality, some tension for a healthy organization is necessary. Tension in nature holds things together. Every engineer knows that there has to be a certain amount of tension to hold things together. And the same is true in every organization, and the same is true in organizational life. But again, our natural inclination is if there's a problem, let's solve it. If there's a tension, let's resolve it. Either I'm going to solve it or I'm going to delegate it. I just want it to go away. But as we're going to discover in our conversation, great organizations realize some tensions should be managed rather than resolved away.
Yeah, and it's still counterintuitive because we've all seen how destructive tension can be over time.
Yeah, I mean, every story of every organization that's fallen apart has fallen apart over some kind of tension. Yeah. So again, recognizing which problems need to be solved and which tensions need to be managed is part of the art of leadership.
Yeah. What are some examples of some of those tensions we want to maintain?
Well, I think the tensions that an organization has to learn to manage is generally organization-specific or even industry-specific. Mm-hmm. In our world, for example, there's a constant tension between good stewardship or managing our finances well and excellence. And probably in a lot of organizations, there's this tension. We want to do things with excellence, but as everybody knows, excellence is expensive. At the same time, we want to be great in managing our resources. So there's a tension. And, it would be a mistake to go one way or the other wholeheartedly. It would be a mistake to resolve the tension and say, you know what, forget excellence. We're just going to make sure every single dollar gets maximum usage. You know, we're going to use cheaper pens. We're going to, use cheaper lights. At the same time, it would be a mistake to say, forget the budget. We just want to be excellent, 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 the best of the best, upgrade every time we have an opportunity. So to go either way would be a problem. To manage that tension is the way to go. And so it basically creates another category for leaders as they think about the tensions they deal with on and off and the problems that, they're expected to solve.
Yeah. In church world, I love the one that we often talk about between preaching and preschool.
Yeah. And for those of you in the marketplace who are listening or watching this, this may have no relevance at all. But in the church world, there's a constant tension between what happens on Sunday morning in the worship center or the sanctuary and what's happening back in the preschool area with the people who are taking care of the kids. And in terms of how long services go, and in my profession, preachers are often, they're blamed for preaching too long. And they say, well, I just felt led and the spirit moved. Meanwhile, back in the preschool area and back in the children's area, it's chaos and the spirit isn't moving at all. In fact, something else is moving. So again, there's a tension. Now, which way do you go? Do you allow a church to be completely driven by what's happening with children? Do you allow the church to be completely driven by the whims of the pastor and how long he wants to preach? The answer is no to both. There's a healthy tension, and it's a tension that churches specifically have to learn to manage.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to an excerpt from a talk you did at our Drive conference called The Opposable Leader, and then we're going to come back and we'll talk about it.
Here's the big question. How do you know? How do you know the difference between a problem that needs to be solved once and for all? Okay, we've dealt with that. Versus, here that comes again. Hey, this is not a problem to solve. This is a tension to manage. This is not a problem to solve. This is a tension to manage. In fact, that's some of the language we use in our staff meetings and in our discussions around here. Oops, that's not a problem to solve. That's a tension to manage. So when you're on one side of the equation and somebody else is on the other side of the equation, as a leader, I don't have to decide which one of you is right. And you don't have to decide which one of you is right. We all look at each other and go, oh yeah, that's not a problem to solve. That's a tension to manage. That's an important tension, here's the key, leaders, that we can never ever allow to go away, because by maintaining that tension, that is the key or a key to progress in this organization. So how do you know? Roman numeral 2. To distinguish between problems to solve and tensions to manage, here's three questions you can always ask of the things that we're talking about. A, does this problem or tension keep resurfacing? Does it just come up over and over and over and over? And no matter how many times you've discussed it, no matter how many deacons have complained, no matter how many times the ladies came and knocked on your door, no matter, it just keeps coming up. Chances are that is not a problem to solve. It's a tension you've got to learn to manage. And when everybody involved understands there's a third way, a third option, it changes the dynamic of the conversation. You know, for us, and you're probably the same way, and as much as we know this, it's like, duh, you know, every January we're out of space. Oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And we have these meetings about we're out of space. Every June, we think our church is going out of business. Where is everybody? Everybody's gone. Oh my gosh. And Rick's looking at the projection. I start thinking, oh, my sermons aren't as good. What's wrong? We knew what's wrong. It's like, and then January, oh my gosh, God's blessing. Every June, where's God? And it's like, hey, wait a minute. Is there a pattern here? It's like, oh yeah. And so we will spend time at the beginning of the year when everybody comes back to church trying to solve and manage. And then, you know, by June, and finally we've realized, wait a minute, these aren't problems to solve. This is just a reality. This is just a tension to manage. Don't go overboard and do something in January that in your June you're gonna go, boy, that was really a stupid idea. And Andy, don't panic in June because it's June. Everybody went on vacation. I don't care what you're preaching on, okay? They're not gonna come, all right? It's June. Just... Letter B, this is big. Are there mature advocates on both sides? Are there mature advocates on both sides? In other words, are there people that you respect who are mature on both sides of an issue? If they are, chances are this is not a solvable problem. This is a tension you're gonna have to manage. In our world, maybe yours as well, it's, you know, there's one group that's like, what about the new believers? Deeper. Hey, what about the people that aren't Christians? Keep it safer. We want it deeper. You know, and whoever gets to me last, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Oh my gosh, you're right. It needs to be deeper. Oh, you're right. It needs to be safer. It needs to be deeper, safer. You know, Listen, that's a very healthy tension for a growing church. If there's nobody in your church that wants it to be safer for unbelievers, you have a problem. If there's nobody in your church that is concerned about the maturity of unbelievers, of new believers, you have a problem. If you solve that, you are not gonna make the kind of progress you need to make as a church leader. As long as there are people whispering in both of your ears, we need more for the growing Christian, we need to keep it safe and clutter-free for the non-Christian, we need to make it deeper, safer, then as much as it may drive you crazy, you can breathe a sigh of relief. You're probably right where God wants you to be. That is a tension. That's a pressure that can't go away. See, most of us grew up in church where there was no tension around making it safer for unbelievers. There was just no tension around that. And then as soon as Bill Hybels came along and Rick Warren came along, what did everybody say? Oh, it's shallow. They need to fix that. Meanwhile, they had the biggest churches in America. Yeah, but there can't be anything going on over there spiritual. Look how many people are coming. Right? I mean, you get that. Some of you get that, right? You plant a church and suddenly there's 100, then 400, 800, and all the mainline churches are going, well, you must be doing something wrong. People are going to your church. Okay, anyway, it's attention managed. Letter C. I'm telling you, if you don't get anything else out of this talk, these three questions you just need to bring with you to every single staff meeting for a while. Letter C. Are the two sides really interdependent? Are the two sides really interdependent? This is not either or. We need both and we can't solve it or resolve it because they're interdependent. For example, if I decide, you know what, I'm working too hard. I mean, you know, let's say, you know, my job requires so much that I just have to tell my family I'm just not coming home. I'm just, you know, I'm taking my sleeping bag to work because work requires so much. Then what happens? I lose my family. So then I go home and say, well, I'm not gonna go back to work because I gotta spend time with my family. Then I lose my job. And then my family says, we don't really want you here that much. You need to have a job. But I'd lost my job. Then I go back to work. Okay, see, that's not a problem you solve. Because why? Because both are interdependent. Many of the problems and tensions you spend a lot of time talking about and trying to solve in church world are not they're tensions to manage. They're not problems to solve because they are interdependent. When you realize as people argue their case and they get mad and they send you emails and I thought you said and you promised and last time and then last year and you didn't, it's not fair. You realize, you know what? These are really interdependent. Then you've discovered a tension you must learn to manage and you dare not let the tension go away, which means leaders, we must be comfortable managing through and leading through and leading along with certain tensions. As much as they drive you crazy, as much as you don't want to hear that anymore, as much as you don't want to see him coming, as many times as you think you've had that conversation, there are tensions that are strategic, there are tensions and conflicts that are critical to the progress of your organization.
Andy, you said that it's really our role to manage that tension. And you gave us three questions to ask to do that. One of them was, are there mature advocates on both sides of the tension? And how do we as a point leader sort of navigate, you know, when to let one side win, when to let the other side win?
Well, that's a great question. And once an organization, again, a department, division, organization, industry has discovered, okay, these are tensions we just have to learn to live with, then the goal of the point leader is not to allow either side to win. And this really is art. This really is art. And it has so much to do with the personalities in the room, the personalities that are kind of leading the charge for both sides of the argument. If you have a super strong personality and more of an introvert that's not going to be super verbal in a conversation, then the leader really has to come in and prop up the other side. Part of this is learning to maximize the strengths of both views. You know, we need lots and lots of creativity. We need excellence. We need good stewardship. There's an advantage to excellence. There's an advantage, you know, to being great managers of our money. Maximize the upside, minimize both downsides. And then just in the life and the rhythm of the organization, learning not to allow anyone to win and making sure the tension never goes away. Because if one side, quote, wins or convinces the organization or the point leader that, hey, this we just need to go wholeheartedly in this direction, then the tension disappears, as I said earlier, for a while, but it's going to resurface. And so as the leader, it really is an art. But the key is understanding which of these tensions are we going to learn to live with. And in the midst of those, you know, battles, those staff wars, you know, the silo wars, to be able to say, wait a minute. This is not a problem we're ever going to solve. This is not a tension that's ever going to go away. This is one of those things that we have to learn to manage and to get both sides to take a deep breath and realize, okay, this isn't a battle we should even attempt to win. Right. This is something we've just got to manage through.
So are there common mistakes you see leaders make again and again when it comes to that?
Yeah, I think the primary one, again, as a leader, I have a bias. You know, I have a bias either toward excellence or managing the money well. I'm a pastor and a communicator, so of course I have a bias as to how long the sermon should go and how long the service should go. I don't know what's going on back in preschool and the nursery of our church, so I'm not. So again, every leader understands that as we look at problems that shouldn't be solved, tensions that can't be resolved, I'm always going to have a bias one way or the other. And emotional maturity, leadership maturity, is saying, you know what, I'm not going to lean into my bias in this conversation. I'm going to be the referee, and I'm going to make sure at the end of the day, this tension never, ever goes away. Everybody understands the value of this tension, and everybody in the organization understands why we can't afford to allow this tension to go away. But again, because nobody's neutral, you know, everybody has bad days. As a leader, I'm like the parent who's swinging my arm in the back seat saying, I don't want to hear about this anymore. I don't care who hit who and who's sitting on whose side of the seat. I just want it to go away. I mean, we all have days where we want to do that. But for the health of the organization, certain tensions have to remain. And as the point leader, it's my responsibility to make sure they never slip off the radar.
Well, any specific tip on how to navigate that?
Yeah, I think for me, and this is probably true in general, as a leader understands, again, here are the tensions we have to manage. Here is where I tend to lean. Here's the side I tend to weigh heavy in on. I think every leader needs to, again, pause and ask the question, okay, what's the downside of my side? You know, what's the downside of the point of view that I tend to argue and tend to weigh in on? And it's essentially, you know, the ability to verbalize in front of my staff. You know, my tendency is going to be to want to do this, but I realize if we only do it this way, if I win the argument, if I allow my side to win, whether, again, it's, hey, we're going to save every dollar we can save, or we're going to be as creative and as excellent as we can possibly be, whichever way I go or tend to go, I need to be able to verbalize the downside of that. And here's what happens, and we've seen this in our staff. When each side, whether, again, it's silos, divisions, departments, companies, branches, whatever it might be, when each side is willing to verbalize, hey, I realize if I got my way, here's something we need to watch out for. If I got my way all the time, I can see where this would take the organization. If I'm willing to concede that there really is a downside to my side, it gives everybody else in the organization permission to do the same thing without feeling as if they're giving up leverage. Because, you know, this is true when husbands and wives argue or parents argue with their children. You never want to acknowledge the other person's right.
Yeah.
You never want to say, okay, well, I see your point, Dad. You know, if my teenagers would every once in a while say, oh, good point, Dad. They never do that, even when I know I've backed them in a corner. So our natural inclination is to push. So when a leader can create, again, sort of the emotional margin to say, of course, here's what I think we should do, but I realize that if we do that to the extreme, I realize if we don't pay attention to the other side, here's the downside. You create an environment where everybody realizes, okay, I can verbalize the strengths of both sides without losing leverage, and no one's going to take advantage of that to push me to an extreme I don't want to go to. That's just healthy relationships in general, and that can happen within an organization.
Yeah. But then you go on to really warn us about another default setting that a lot of us have, and that is that fairness really shouldn't be the goal.
Yeah, I think fairness is really overblown. I really, again, I tell them, of course, every parent tells their kids, you know, life isn't fair. But really, fairness is impossible. And I don't even think it's a worthy goal to shoot for. And what I mean by that organizationally is this. The goal isn't to be fair. Fair would be, okay, last year we cut your budget. This year we're going to cut your budget. Last year we let, you know, we let you have the, you know, create the theme. This year we're going to let you. The goal isn't fair. The goal is to do the best thing for the organization. Mm. And sometimes that means we're going to lean way into creativity and way into excellence, and we're going to do that for a season. And then next season comes around, and we may need to do that again. But in 2 years from now, it may be all about stewardship. Right. So as a leader, again, part of the art of leadership is realizing here are the tensions we're going to manage. Here are the personalities. Here's the upside of both sides, the downside of both sides, and within the rhythm of the organization, the season of the organization, as a leader, I have to determine which way we're going to lean. I'm not trying to be fair. I'm trying to make the best decision for the organization. And depending on the personality of the leader, that's very hard. We all know there are peacemakers. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's tension, there are certain people who just, they want to make peace. Even if they make a bad decision, they want to make peace.
Right.
That's a terrible approach. And then there's people, as you said, who just want to be fair. Well, last time, so maybe next time.
Right.
Terrible approach. It's about the rhythm of the organization. It's about the season of the organization. And really, it's just about keeping those tensions front and center so we don't try to resolve the wrong tensions or solve the wrong problems.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept when you talk about the rhythm of an organization. You don't hear a lot about that. Talk about what you mean when you say the rhythm of the organization.
Well, and we've talked about this a little bit on some previous in some previous discussions, but every organization has a rhythm. Industries have rhythms. Industries have sales cycles. Churches have rhythms. Nonprofits. Every organization has some sort of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner an organization or department or division or sales force or industry recognizes their rhythm and plays into those rhythms, the better off they're going to be. And so, again, when it comes to managing certain tensions, understanding where we are in the sales cycle, the attendance cycle, you know, whatever cycle the organization embraces in terms of the nature of that organization, as you recognize those rhythms, it helps with these kinds of issues in terms of maintaining tensions.
Okay. One of the things you talked about later in the talk is really making this idea of a healthy tension just part of the language of your organization.
Yeah. The whole idea of managing tensions needs to be cultural. And again, when we kind of stumbled into this a few years ago, I actually got all the staff together and taught on this. I talked about some of the same things you and I have talked about today and said, we're going to create a new category. It's not your way or my way. And it's not right or wrong, and it's not fair. The new category is, this is a tension we're going to manage. Mm. And so from now on, when you're in a conversation, and as we said earlier when you played the clip of my talk, you know, why does this keep coming up? Why does this keep coming up? Well, I thought we talked about this. I thought we solved this. Whenever those things continue to come up, we've got a new category. This is a tension we manage. So it's really been interesting over the past few years to sit in our management team meetings, our department meetings, our multi-campus meetings, and, you know, there will be tension and there will be my side and your side, and suddenly someone will say, I guess this is just a tension we have to manage. And when they say that, you can kind of feel this calmness come over the room, like, oh, I don't have to win, and I don't have to lose, and I'm not necessarily wrong, but it doesn't mean I'm always right. So by simply creating some terminology, by creating this category within an organization, it just has allowed, you know, the areas in our organization where there's going to be natural tension, it allows us to live with that tension without feeling like, you know, we've made enemies along the way.
Yeah. Sometimes it gives enough space that you almost can get a way out of something that you really didn't want to get into to begin with.
Well, for the person who feels like they have to win, they realize they don't have to win. For the person that feels like they're being kind of pushed over or mowed over by a stronger personality, they have a comeback. They say, you know what, we're never going to completely agree. I'm always going to wish there was more money for my department. You're always going to be able to make a case that you should have the money in your department. This is just a tension we've learned to live with.
Andy, what do you say to the leader out there that's listening, who has that person at their table who, I mean, they just have to win?
Yeah, that's not uncommon, especially in leadership circles, because leaders like to win. We like progress. We think our way is the best way. We're designed that way. I think if there's a person who just powers up, who really measures their success in a meeting as to whether or not they've convinced everybody to go their direction, I think that's a one-on-one conversation. And we have to explain to that individual, there are certain tensions that we can't allow to slip off the radar. Tension makes us healthy. And if you can't control your words, if you can't control your attitude, if you can't control the rolling of your eyes, if you can't control that strong personality, then you can't come to the meetings. Because for the health of this organization, I can't allow you to win. That's the person that you may have them sit down and say, I want you to write out the upside of the other side. I want you to write out the downside of your side. I want you to script out for me what would happen if we leaned completely in your direction to the detriment, or if we just completely ignored the other side of the argument, to help them see that their goal isn't to win. Their goal, as we said earlier, is to be a cheerleader for their perspective, to be a cheerleader for their values, for their division, for their department. And they need to come on strong, but they need to be able to leave a meeting knowing, okay, I've argued my case. This is a tension that's never, ever going to go away. I'm going to value the upside of the other side, and I'm going to make sure that my view never disappears from the conversation, but I'm also going to ensure that I don't allow the other view to disappear from the conversation either. Because at the end of the day, great organizations learn to manage certain tensions.
Well, Andy, thanks for joining us, and thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this talk from our Drive Conference, you may want to check out our upcoming Drive Conference at driveconference.org. It'll be March 28th through the 30th, 2011. We hope to see you there.